Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
This is so frustrating. I'm trying to find out if Hedy Lamarr really did invent Wi-Fi. And I've clicked on the Snopes.com article. If you're not familiar with Snopes.com, they investigate and debunk most internet myths. I mean, supposed to, the idea is they say true or false, and as it happens, most of them are false. So I'm trying to get on to Snopes and find out, because it looks like they have an article here about it. But I clicked on it, and it's just kind of going, you know, the way it does sometimes. And I'm like, come on, come on, you know, the show's about to start. I got to see this. And it doesn't look like it's going to show it to me. So maybe I'll find out later on if that is a true fact or a not true fact. And yes, there are not true facts. It's a fact. It could be either true or false. In fact, facts are the only things that can be either true or false. An opinion can't be true or false, which is a thing that's not a fact. It's an opinion. Now you know. Good evening. I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is my radio program, Mud Toe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. The sacred fire looks like it's going pretty good. I had the first little piece of ash fall off. Not too long ago, it's like I think 2 weeks ago on the program. Every once in a while, I like to do the lighting of the sacred fire during the program. Usually, I do it before the program starts, so that we'll call it the show. Program is kind of what do you call it, pretentious. Before the show starts, I usually it's incense. I light incense. That's a sacred fire. And 2 weeks ago, I went through it, and I'm using up the last of this Tibetan monk incense made by Tibetan monks. And it doesn't fit in any of my incense burners. So I was talking to a friend about it after the show, and he had suggested to me that you have to find something to hold the incense in the lip, but you use a bottle. You put the incense upside down in the bottle, and you put something over the lip to hold it, and you have to stick it through, and you use a pencil or some way that keeps the incense from slipping all the way to the bottom. And then, I guess, to really make it work well, you've got to drill some holes in the bottle, which I'm not really set up to do. So I've got a little Pepsi bottle here on my shrine table now with my little stick of Tibetan monk incense, and it's masking taped on there. I have masking tape holding it inside the rim of the bottle. And, of course, it is tilted over at a wild and crazy angle, so the ash is not falling into the bottle as is intended, but is instead just falling on the table the way it always does. But, hey, what are you going to do? Just clean up the ash every once in a while, I guess. Once I move, I have a cloth. What would you call it? I got it at a hockey game at our local university's hockey game, and they were passing them out. It was military appreciation night, and they're done up, and it's just these cloths. I guess they could be bandanas. I'm not exactly sure what they are, but they're a little bit big for hankies. But they're done up in camouflage because it was military appreciation. But the camouflage colors are the colors of the university, which kind of, you know, blows up the whole camouflage thing, but it looks kind of neat. I use one of them to bundle up my medicine bundle when I take it elsewhere. And the other one kind of sits on the shrine table, and I put the incense burner on there or whatever the incense is sitting in, so that when the ash falls down, because it never falls on the incense burner, it doesn't get on the cover of the shrine table. So the short version of that story is I have failed. I have failed in my final attempt, but things are, I mean, it'll be different next week. Actually, I have to remember at some point to go to the head shop and get some incense so that I can continue to make sacred fire for y'all, although my friend also did suggest, he says, you know, you don't have to burn the entire stick of incense at one setting. You can save it. I actually hadn't thought of that. I always just let the incense burn all the way to the bottom. it does burn for several hours. As it continues to burn after the show, I usually take it up to my room and get some sacred smoke going up there. I don't smudge the apartment. I've never smudged my apartment. If you're not familiar with that term, what would you call it? It's sort of a way of protecting oneself from. This is going to sound weird. Might as well just sound weird. You protect yourself. If you're going into a situation where you might encounter heavenly beings and spirits, and the heavenly beings and spirits can be good, but also they sometimes might want to go home with you. It's one of the things that's one of the problems that's often encountered with things like Ouija boards. So you say you go to a sweat lodge, or you go to some sort of gathering where there's going to be a lot of people, and you're going to be invoking the spirits. You want to smudge, which means you're just protecting yourself from anything kind of latching onto you and going home with you. And I've thought about doing that here in my apartment because I believe I do share this apartment with a few heavenly beings and spirits. Wrote about that on my blog, and I segue into that, but I'm going to finish with the smudging thing first. It's occurred to me a couple of times that I probably ought to smudge, but I don't know if it's my. I mean, they were here before I was. What right do I have to tell them they have to go away? Particularly since they're really not causing any problems; they're just kind of hanging out. And I did have a problem with. I had a neighbor next door to me who passed away, unfortunately, and it's right in right in the apartment next to me, and he was there for quite a while before he was discovered. His mail was piling up, and I was starting to think I ought to, I couldn't get into the apartment, and he had dementia and didn't know me, so I didn't want to try to get into the apartment, and I didn't know if he might be back in heat in there or something. So I thought, my friend Iggy was his nephew, and I thought I should, give him a call. And I went to work that day, and it slipped my mind. And then before I came home, I got a phone call from him saying that the postman had called the police, having noticed mail was piling up. And knowing that an elderly man lived there, he called the police. They got into the apartment and found him in there, and he had passed away and had been passed away for some time. So there was, sort of a lot of heavy energy connected with that sort of occurrence, as you can imagine. I came home that night, and I could hear it. I mean, I could feel it. I didn't hear it as a sound, but I could feel it, sort of the vibration inside of me. It's like one of those old vibration, but it's true. It's just whether you say, okay, that's because I knew he died, and it freaked me out, and it was my imagination. Okay, maybe it was my imagination, but it affected me in a very real way. And I can't say that I was fearful, but I was disturbed. And I tried to sleep that night, and every time I like almost fall asleep, it would be as if someone shouted. And I can't say that I heard the shout, but it's just I had like a huh. I woke up like someone had yelled something. And this happened a number of times. And so finally I came downstairs and I bundled up my medicine and stuff. And I went onto the front porch, which we shared. And I just went over onto his side. And I fired up my incense, my sacred fire going. And I offered it to the four directions, and I offered an apology to the gentleman for not having been more attentive to him. And I played my flute, and then I packed it all up, went back inside, and have never had a repeat of the experience. So, I mean, so you say, did it work? I don't know if it worked. I just know it just made me feel better. I don't know. But I think if it makes me feel better, it was good medicine. Whatever you do that makes you feel better, as long as it's not destructive to you or destructive to someone else, if it makes you feel better, it's good medicine. So keep it up. Let me move on to the blog then. I do write a blog. It's at mudtoesasquatch.com. And once a week, I put some thoughts up there. And the last couple of weeks have been kind of on heavenly beings and spirits kind of thoughts because a family member of mine passed away. I talk about ghosts, I guess for want of a better name, sort of experiences I've had with beings or thoughts or energy that I believe came from the other side being not the side that we're on now. And that started, we moved into a house when I was 11 years old, and it was across the street from the cemetery, and of course that was always a discussion, whoa, there's going to be ghosts on it. And the second night we lived there, my brother, who would have been two years old then, he reported that he had seen a lady sitting on the edge of his bed, you know, during the night. And I'm like, oh, no. I call Matt Sponcito and do an exorcism. That really wasn't repeated as far as I know. He never said anything about it. But I mowed the grass for a number of people. There are a lot of elderly people who lived in the neighborhood. I cut the lawn. Actually, a couple of people, their properties bordered a mausoleum that was across the street from the. We were like one block in to the neighborhood from the. So you could see the cemetery, but we weren't right on top of it. And there were like some houses, and then the cemetery was right below, beyond it. And then sort of nestled in these houses was the mausoleum. And I used to mow the lawn. You have to go by that mausoleum. You're right at the edge of their property, which is the edge of the mausoleum's property. And I was always much more efficient at that part of the lawn. I moved much more quickly when I was going past that mausoleum. Just got the vibe I got from it. And you could see it was an old building, and you know how the topsoil kind of washes away over time and exposes the foundation. And then there's a hole underneath it. You think, oh boy, something could crawl out of there, couldn't it? But that sort of energy I got diffused when I got a chance to go into the mausoleum as an adult. One year they being the city fathers decided to open it up for Memorial Day in case anybody, you know, wanted to get in and pay their respects. It's the only time I know of that it's ever been open to the public. And I went in there and I walked around and familiarized myself with the inside. And there was a friend in there who I can't believe he at one time he was the mayor of our town. I went to high school with him. And in the fullness of time, he became the mayor of the town. I'm not sure if he still is the mayor, but he was for a while. I can't remember if he was the mayor at that time. But we hadn't seen each other for a while, and there was sort of some friendly energy being passed back and forth. And that sort of served to neutralize those ghosts, if you may. If someone may. Another one. See that? I'm sharing with you. This is bonus material. This is stuff that was not in the blog. In the blog, I focused on two or three events. I think I talked about the event with my neighbor. I didn't talk about the mausoleum. But there's some other things I talk about in the blog, which I want you to read. So I'm not going to reveal all of that. I'm just throwing some stuff that, you know, is some stuff that perhaps I would have put in the blog, but I didn't want to make it too long. This one actually just passed the 1,000-word limit that I usually set for myself. But not, I mean, it's like 1,022 or something. Generally, I have a hard time. I want the blog to be between 500 words and 1,000 words. And usually I'm pushing it to try and get it past 500. I just say, how many words do I have to say about this topic that I randomly picked this morning? I had absolutely no problem getting to 1,000 words. I had to actually cut it back a little bit. And I said there are some things that I wanted to talk about in the blog, which I didn't end up talking about because I just didn't have space. So there was that, and there was also a thing when my old junior high school, they don't even have those anymore, middle schools now, but when I went, it was junior high school, 7th and 8th and 9th grade, and I just had an awful time at that old place, being an awkward pre-teenager and having just moved into town and nobody liked me and all that stuff. That last part wasn't true. Plenty of people liked me, but my perception was that nobody liked me. And there was also a phys ed class that was the bane of my existence because they had one of those phys ed teachers who takes phys ed seriously. Not as seriously as they're on. That's sort of the wrong way to couch it. They give you grades in phys ed, you know, grade the quality of your somersaults and all of that. Anyway, you'd have to go. You go in this in the locker room and change, and you would wear this very unflattering white T-shirt, white shorts, white gym shoes, and you'd have to go out into the hallway where other people looked at you and sneak through the school down this hallway past the band room, past the choir room, and into this hallway and up some stairs and into the gym the back way. And the gym was on a stage. It's one of those old schools where the gym was on a stage. So if anybody walked through the auditorium, they were watching you too. So I mean, I didn't, you know, being self-conscious, having, you know, a lot of body issues and walking around in that way and knowing that I was not going to perform well, was a terrible time for me, having to go through that twice a week for 3 years. And I would go, you know, it's an old, you know, very sort of spooky-looking kind of building, and any time I would drive past or even know that I was somewhere near it, I would start to get chills. And I was watching some old home movies that my father took. We used to, when I was born, we lived in a house that was right across from that building. And so all the home movies from that era, you were constantly seeing the building coming up and down. And I was like, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that building. So, I mean, I don't know if you call that haunting. I guess it was haunted for me. There's something in there. There was, you know, it was just a memory of the sort of humiliation that I experienced and or imagined. It had taken on sort of its own personality, and the personality seemed to live in that building. And I think it's a matter of the energy that I had put into that, and perhaps combined with the energy that other people over the years who had maybe similar experiences had put into that, into those bricks, had built up and become like almost a solid thing. I read Stephen King's The Shining sort of explains what happens in the Overlook Hotel in that way, that they have the individual personalities of the sort of malignant ghosts in there. But then there's the whole thing of the house that's just sort of built from all of the parts that went into it. So what happened there was, I mean, they'd have plays there and things, because they had that big auditorium, and you know, come see your brother in the play, and I didn't want to go because I didn't want to sit in that building. But what finally happened was I went there as a substitute teacher. And so there were places, and you know, I found out I never knew where the teacher's lounge was until, you know, they showed it to me when I went back as a substitute teacher, and I could move around freely. You know, I had, you know, as long as I was in my class that I was supposed to be doing at the appropriate times. And I found that going back to that building in a position of power diffused that negative energy. It was sort of its own exorcism in a way. So I don't know if you'd call it a ghost or a personality. So a ghost doesn't, I don't think a ghost has to have a personality. It's just a troubling energy that's derived from a past experience. Maybe my past experience, maybe somebody else's past experience, maybe both. So take a look at the blog if you like. It's mudtoesasquatch.com. Give it a read and maybe give some of the older blogs. They're all there. Every blog that I posted is still there. At least back to the time when my blog got hacked and everything got wiped out. But everything up to a certain point is still there. So take a look. You can leave a comment. It's kind of hard for me to read them. I get very heavily spammed. And sometimes it's difficult for me. Sometimes it takes several weeks for me to find legitimate comments because they're in among the spam. A better way to get a hold of me might be on my Gmail address, mudtoesasquatch@gmail, mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. And there's also a Facebook page, mudtoesasquatch. Probably a better, safer bet to try and get a hold of me in one of those two places than on the blog. And I welcome any constructive comments. If you didn't like it, feel free to tell me why you didn't like it. Obviously, I don't care for racism or any stupidity like that. But again, constructive comments, positive and negative, always welcome. Thank you very much. So, that dispensed with. What else shall I talk about? I had my big interview with the Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation today. If you're a long-term listener, you may remember that the state has told me that I have a disability. I never thought of it that way, but that my troubles with alcohol and bipolar disease and so forth have made me disabled, have hurt my chances to get a job, and I can't really argue with that. I don't know that it's such a big deal that I need the intervention of the state, but you know, I'm in a situation right now where I'm going to take all the help I can get. So a few weeks back, I went and did a test, you know, where I did some hand-eye coordination stuff, and they gave me a model to build, and they tested my vocabulary knowledge and all that stuff. And today, I had a meeting to get the results, and I get there. And I knew this was going to happen before I showed up. This wasn't a surprise. But they're moving. They're moving to new offices. And so today is the last day their office is open. And so while we were having this meeting, there's furniture being taken out of the office. And we went in the person's office we were sitting, you know, there were no phones. That had already been all taken out, which is actually kind of cool because that means the phone can't ring and interrupt what we're doing. But what happened was the fine testing lady read through all of my test results and said there were a number of jobs she thought would be good for me. So the one she thought in particular would be good for me would be as a trainer, which I kind of knew already because that's what I did before. But, hey, you know, the state has approved it now, so that's a good deal. And you know, like she said, there were probably two dozen, if not more, things they had on a list that they thought that these are things you might pursue. So where it's at now is they're going to digest this for a couple of weeks to go through in one sitting. So I'm going to do that. Still feel a bit like someone who's like a lab specimen under a microscope. They measure me. They get they take all of my numbers and they put them into the magic algorithm, and then pronounce the results. I'm still not entirely certain how I feel about that. But again, I'm not in any position to say I want to go ahead and short circuit this process, and nothing has happened yet. I mean, I've just taken tests and looked at reports. It's not been called upon to make any sort of decision. Now, what goes hand in hand with that, though, is on Monday I'm having a meeting with a talent agent who I'm hoping will represent me with my writing, as my not my blog writing, but my longer form writing, actually short stories. And which has been kind of stalled here for a while. Well, it has been stalled. It hasn't been kind of stalled. It's been stalled as I've been negotiating this, multiple part-time jobs and trying to keep myself afloat and whatnot. I met this lady at an event sponsored by my friend Eric. It was an energy event where we were doing some meditation and surrounding people with good energy while they did their manifesting, trying to manifest the good things they wanted to come into their lives. And we struck up a conversation about my writing, and she gave me her business card. And I sent her a sample of my writing and some other things she asked for. She asked for sort of a curriculum vitae, I could never knew how to pronounce that word, just where I've been in my life and what I've done, and a few words about why I like to write. And basically I shared, I see it as a spiritual activity, and also a way for me to work through my own sort of issues. I feel very strongly that I've been called to share things. And well, I've said this on the show before. You don't have to hear all that again. So I told her that. And it's just someone who specializes in sort of spiritual art forms. I don't know quite how much writing she does, how many writers she handles, but I know she handles a lot of artists who are in a sort of a spiritual realm. So my hope is that she will help me move in a direction. I think it will definitely help me to get writing done if there's someone waiting for it. If it needs to be, if she needs it, or if it needs to be sent somewhere, that's going to light a fire under me, and I will be able to finally, I promised myself there was going to be writing published in one form or another during this year of 2013, and it's not going to happen. So 2014 has to be a better year in that way, mostly because, well, maybe not mostly, but because the writing has to start, the writing has to start helping to pay the bills. These stories have been living in my head. They've been hitchhiking for all of this time. It's time for the stories to start paying their share. Because otherwise I'm going to have to find a human roommate, and boy, I don't even want to do that. Share my apartment with a stranger. I'd just be totally freaked out and paranoid every time I left the place. That even includes if it was a female stranger. There's nothing like that on the horizon. So, just got to work with it, man. Keep it going. keep in touch with you fine people. I'm hoping at least some of you will have an interest in the book once it's done, or the stories, or however it's published. That's, even though how it's going to be done, and the short stories, I don't have any idea that's a book by itself. I don't have ideas that are that big. Is it a book of 10 or 12 short stories, or do we put the short stories on the Kindle, separately? They sell short stories for like 99 cents a piece on Kindle. I don't know. This is some of the questions I'm hoping that some nice management will help me find the answers to. I do want to thank my friends Adriana of Adriana Arts and Mary, who produced a, I think she was the producer. She worked on a documentary about our fair city, about the neighborhoods in our fair city that aired on PBS recently. And, of course, my good friend Iggy spent some time with them at Iggy's restaurant. And we also listened to a local band called Jed, and they were very good. That's how I spent this evening, and I'm not going to say I'm hoping this doesn't happen. It may happen, it may not. Another friend of mine had asked me to come and see his band this evening, and I mistakenly told him that I was working tonight. I got crossed up between Friday and Saturday, and I thought he was talking Friday, I was talking Saturday, thinking Saturday, and I said, no, I can't come. Well, I totally could have come because I was free tonight. But then I ended up going, I didn't go, I ended up going to spend some time with my friends here close by. And, of course, people get nutty with their cell phones, and there's about 100 pictures of us at Iggy's restaurant all over my Facebook page. And my fear is that my friend is going to see it and say, what? You said you couldn't come, you said you were working. My friend is in this band, and it's just getting started up, and he's trying to get as many warm bodies as he can to the concerts. It's an honest mistake on my part, and I'm very sorry. Again, I could have gone tonight. I got crossed up in my head which day was what, and I didn't. So I'm looking at their concert schedule and trying to select a date that would be good for me to go, and then just go ahead and write it in my schedule in ink, so I do go to the next one. And, yeah, I don't know if anything is going to be. This guy, I haven't actually seen him. How long has it been? I was in a show with him. It's been at least 10 years since I've actually seen him. We keep in touch on Facebook. That's the way it is with a lot of people. It's just I haven't seen these people in forever, but I see them every day on Facebook. And they have friends who move away. Two friends who moved to North Carolina. A friend who moved to Los Angeles. A friend that moved to Seattle. And it's almost as if they haven't left, because I really don't have that much less contact with them now than I did before, because the most of the contact I had with them was over Facebook. They're all women, too. Amazing how that happens. I have mostly women friends on Facebook. And I don't know. Where am I going with that? I don't even know where I'm going with that. Because, thank God. The 90-second alarm just went off, so I don't have to follow that thread any further. Yay! I'm sure you guys are glad, too. I always say this half an hour just really flew by, but this half an hour really just flew by. And what was I even talking about? Mostly I was talking about those heavenly beings and spirits that kind of are hanging around. So that's a good topic. I do hope you will avail yourself of that blog. That's mudtoesasquatch.com. And I'll keep adding to that every Monday. And when there's more news about the book or the stories or however it works out, I'll make sure you know about that too. I hope you'll want to check that out. Thanks once again for joining me this evening. I'll be back here, right here again, same time, same place. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.